This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters. About however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, and happy Easter, everyone. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, the CCA Star Tournament, Allied Industrial Sales, Mainstream Marketing, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, let's get to it. Weather. Boy, it's cranking this morning. Right now, down on the island, it's 74 degrees, and man, it's pretty much sustained over 20 and way higher gust. Looks like today windy with a few showers early and partly cloudy for the afternoon. High of 79. Those winds will be south-southeast 20 to 30. Rain chance about 30% with higher wind gusts tonight. Variable clouds and showers at times. A little rumble or two of thunder during the night, especially this evening. Low of 72, south winds 10 to 20, rain chance 40%. Tomorrow is our bigger chance of rain. Variable clouds with scattered thunderstorms, high of 78, southeast winds 10 to 20, rain chance 50%. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. It looks like we're still on 2. We have a low that just occurred at 3:32 a.m. It was a 0.1, then a high. Coming up at 2:04 this afternoon, a 1.5, 6:47 a.m. is sunrise, 7:49 p.m. sunset, and our moon phase, 63%. And looking around the complex, up at Morgan's Point in the north end of the complex, it's 73 degrees, 75-degree water with an east-southeast wind at 24, gusting to 34. Eagle Point, south-southeast at 28, gusting to 32. Offshore is 20 to 25. It looks like the North Jetty is 27 right now. And down by the pass, I don't think that monitor blew away. It's not there. It looks like it's... Well, here's one here, 16. Another one close to that is about 22, so it's blowing. It doesn't matter. It'll roll over that. It's showing 23, so definitely everything's 20 miles an hour or above, just depending on the gust. The gusts are getting up to 30, 34 miles an hour, so that's a lot. But anyway, happy Easter. Let's run over to the Tri-Bay area and check in with a hammer this morning, Captain Glenn Hammond, see what he's up to. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Doing just fine, Captain Mickey. Happy Easter to you too, buddy.
Thank you, man. Same to you.
Yes, sir. Hope you and your family have a great one today, and everybody else. I know they started piling onto the island this weekend. Boy, oh boy, there's some traffic down here.
A lot of people, huh?
Yes, sir. Started moving in Saturday morning. I mean, all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning, actually. And then we're stuck on 20 miles an hour for the last 24 hours, I think, Captain Mickey. It blew yesterday about 4 o'clock in the evening. It was blowing 18. And it's stuck on 20 this morning, southeast. The right direction, just for too much of it. Too much of it. That ocean on Thursday and Friday, just offshore, was absolutely blue. I mean, it was gorgeous. But white caps as far as you could see when a wind, mm-hmm. the way the wind's been blowing. But I haven't, nobody can get on the surf right now. I know they can't. Maybe another area along the coast somewhere, but not here. It's really been a mess. But it did bring our water back. You know, I kept telling you hello. Yeah, no, those tides really came back yesterday afternoon. They were really high. I had my neighbor went out, and him and his crew on Friday, and they had a pretty good bite. They caught all kind of fish. Now it was a ton of a lot of small reds and trout,
mm-hmm.
but using live shrimp, they didn't have any problem catching fish. They had some keeper trout, and they were like me. When I went on Wednesday, we had a limit of trout just for that guy. I had him 3 trout, but couldn't get a keeper redfish. But we caught 10 or 15 undersized redfish.
Yeah.
Just a lot of action, a lot of small fish right now. And hey, it's you know, and I haven't even took a water temperature. I guess it's somewhere 75 degrees or whatever. Well, maybe.
Yeah,
even.
It's running 75, 76 pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, and I ain't not just no fishing reports down here. Other than that, they went out, and that was on Friday, and then yesterday, I think they went out and threw some artificials. I didn't talk to them about their afternoon trip yesterday, so I'm not sure what they did. But I've been in the driveway, and got to do my yard work and get caught up, and it feels good, man. Everything's cleaned up and weed-eated, and the place looks good finally for a change.
We got a pretty good land run, you know, coming at us. It's right now. It's from the Mexico border down around Piedras Negras, runs all the way up through Texas and into Oklahoma and way up north. I mean, this is it's broader up north, but. It gets real wide, and you can see the spin just above Fort Worth with some red, but we got a line coming at us headed towards San Antonio and going to move this way, so that's our rain chance. The way they're talking with percentages, it may peter out a little bit before it gets here. I don't know.
That's pulling that wind, you know,
I'm
from that angle.
Man, it's 30 plus at my house when I walked out the back door this morning. It'd blow your hat off.
Strap it on, buddy. Well, listen, have you heard any news about the San Luis Pass going to waive the toll?
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to ask you about that this morning. They're going to waive the tolls. You know, that. I mean, the bridge has been paid for 40 years, they say.
Yeah, I know. Well, it just passed. It just failed its examination, and they're going to close the toll booth down. Now, the bridge is going to be open, and there's talk about replacing it. Now, you know that's going to take some time, and it takes some years. But as it is, a friend stopped by yesterday and started telling me that they had some kind of inspection recently, and if there's anybody listening with more info, maybe they can call in and talk about it. But all I've heard is it failed its inspection, and
what
and
bridge in the United States hasn't? Man, I'm seriously, man. Our
infrastructure
is garbage, man. All the bridges are unsafe, and It's crazy times. If the bridge is unsafe and failing inspections, they're just going to go ahead and let us drive across it for free. Travel at your own risk, huh? They're going to put signs up like that?
Isn't that something?
I was a kid when they built that bridge. I remember them building it. Remember when they had the steel girders in there at the pass before they even started pouring the columns. My mom would, we'd be wading the surf, and she'd go down there and fish around those girders with that current running through there, and, man, she pulled some big trout out of there back then. Jeez.
Oh, man. That's a good story right there. Now, they'd had some beautiful giant trout down here for years and years. Christmas Bay used to put out some big fish. Bastrop Bay, it's a good little fishery down here. I've kind of got hung up on it. I could be in Matagorda, I could be in South Texas, and you know, I had a chance. I fished Port Isabel, I Lower Laguna Madre. I fell in love with it. My brother lived down there, and we made a couple, three trips a year down the ditch. We couldn't stay away from them. We couldn't get enough salt water in our veins down there, down south. And then somehow or another, I got hung up here on mid-coast and where we are in a little bitty old shallow, dirty, old muddy potholes that we have down here. But you know what? It works. It works for me and a lot of my friends like I said, San Luis Pass is a place that you got to take seriously. I mean, because it's just so much current constantly moving through there, man.
Glenn, around here over the years, I think, I don't know, probably more people have drowned there at the pass. There in the San Jacinto River is the two I remember the most of all the drownings over all the years, you know.
Yeah, I'd always heard it was the deadliest pass in the world.
Oh, it's
with the drownings that they have there.
It'll get you.
We had some sirens going up and down, boy, ambulance and police yesterday. So I don't know. Hopefully everybody's all right. I don't know what happened down there, but right across the street from my house too, ambulance and a couple cop cars. And oh yeah, they couldn't get the beach was so crowded. The ambulance had to park over here off of Blue Water Highway and then take their gear and walk through the salt grass to get to the beach because they couldn't drive down it. Just letting too many people on the beach. I mean, it's $30. They charge $30 a car now to come down here for a year permit.
Well, there won't be any regulation then. That's hey, they're going to make their money.
It was $8 a car, and they went up to $30, and I think they need to go up to $300 for a year pass. Hey, you know, it's the only beach, one of the very few beaches in the United States that you can put a vehicle on. And I don't know why, because we don't have that much beach left. You know, they don't try to take care of it a little more, make them put some parking meters up on the highway, and there are, when you come down here and you come over that bridge, you'll see, man, it's traffic parked. You know, the ones that don't want to pay the fee, their cars are lined up and down the highway over there when you come over the Surfside Bridge. But no, everything else looks good as far as bait camps. If you're a bait fisherman, you're coming down here, all the bait camps are holding some kind of mullet or mud minnows or some shrimp, you know, and I have seen the croaker flag out if you want to go that route this early in the year, but everything else is good. I mean, you know, you can, even with all that wind, fish are being caught, so you just got to go out there and grin and bear it, I guess, or find you a protected shoreline or something, but it's all good in the hood, I'd say, Captain Mickey.
All right, buddy. Well, just got to roll with it. All right,
yes,
Hammer.
Sir.
Well, hey, somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing this year in your area. How do they reach you?
Well, yes, sir. The easiest way is by my old-fashioned telephone at 713-208-0683, man. I appreciate you. And, again, you and your family have a happy Easter.
You do the same, Glenn. Thanks, man. Y'all be
yes,
safe.
Yes, sir, buddy.
All right, later. All right, that's the Hammer in the Tri-Bay area. Well, I need to. I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market. When you go by and shop with the good folks there, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try all their different blends. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their bulk pricing. That's available on their fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage. And check out their half-calf special. Now, that's going to run through tomorrow on the 21st. This half-calf special for custom processing is just $4.39 a pound. You can order now. All you do is just call the processing department, 979-232-2284. And they've introduced their new Chuck Wagon patties. That's a half-pound beef patties seasoned with cheddar cheese. And don't forget about their deer processing. They're open year-round. And if you're killing exotics or wild pigs or whatever, check out their new sausage recipe that's available. You got to try it. It's really good. While you're at it, get some tamales made, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:18 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Freeport now. Let's check in with the boys from Freeport, Captain Jeff Naylor, Captain Casey Cundiff. Let's see what these guys are up to this morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Rise and shine.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Captain Biggie. How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm like Uncle Joe. I'm moving kind of slow.
Yeah.
I went to a crawfish boil last night.
I'm
full as a tick and just a little slow this morning.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, happy Easter, everybody.
Well, happy Easter to you guys.
Happy Easter. Yeah, happy Easter.
Yeah,
we got all dressed up to go to Sunday Mass. It was early on Saturday yesterday, and we didn't have the time right, so we showed up to church, and there was nobody there.
Oh, gosh.
So we're going to go this morning now.
Sunday Mass on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody
we do that quite often.
Easter egg hunts yesterday. I mean, there was kids everywhere.
I bet.
Yeah. Hope they didn't lose their hat because it's blowing out there, boy.
Oh, ooh. It was crazy,
holy
man.
Cow! Man. I'll tell you what, we came up here to Austin to visit my family this morning, and last night that wind was, I mean, I swear there was a tornado. Had to be super close because it was just getting. I mean, had trees bent over sideways and everything. I mean, it was pretty wild. But
it's only 10 foot out there right now. Jeff,
hey, it doesn't have a name on it like Monty says. Let's go.
Yeah, let her rip.
Good luck.
Casey, in the old days, in the party boat days, is that how it worked? What was the cutoff? You know, as far as wave height,
man, it was very, very dependent upon the group that was on the boat. If it was a normal, makeup group where it was just different you know, you have to be careful because you don't want to get anybody hurt, which, you know, happened occasionally time and again. But I'd say anything 6 to 8 or worse was probably a no-go most of the time. There was some trips they made that were probably obviously worse than that, but that was the six or seven feet was about your cutoff. I mean, if it was that or worse, you probably were going to turn around. You might go look at it, you know, and go try it. But like, let's say for instance, today we would always make our weather calls at about 4 p.m. the day before, if we were going to even attempt to go. And if it was questionable, we would probably try to make it. The problem is when you try to make it, you take everybody's money, you get them out there, turn around, and you got to bring them back in, give them all their money back and all that. So we tried to make as many as we could, of course. But in this case, with this weather situation, we would have probably canceled it yesterday at 4 o'clock, I would imagine. So we wouldn't have even tried it today, probably.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what we would have done, more than likely.
You got to draw the line somewhere, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. Get everybody. Facebook. I'm just kind of scrolling around looking. I'm looking at a guy that got attacked by a bobcat while he was turkey hunting yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
He came in from behind, man, and clawed him up. It just missed his eyes, scratching his eyes out. It grabbed him from the backside. I guess he thought the guy was a turkey. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. That's the whole world's gone
crazy, man.
Even the bobcats are crazy.
Man, what is up?
Man,
yeah.
What? You, Casey, you just got back from the ranch, last weekend, right? Or the weekend before?
I actually went Monday or something and came back Wednesday. I went and fed, and I did turkey hunt, and I did get one. And I shot two this year, and then I shot one at a buddy's place. So I shot three turkeys this year. The turkeys were really, I mean, they were doing the right things. They were really gobbling a lot this last week down there and everything. They were henned up still, though, so you weren't able to call them all in. But, you know, it was pretty good hunting, really. I mean, I had three come in the very first morning, and I could have probably shot all three of them if I wanted to, but I just picked up the best one of the three and shot that one and just educated the other two, I guess, is what I ended up doing. But, you know, but I didn't get attacked by any bobcats, so I considered it was good. It was successful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always a good trip when nobody dies. Yeah. It's a good deal, man.
Yeah.
Nobody injured and nobody died.
Nope. I did have a run in with a raccoon under the hood of the truck when I got there, though. I went to check the cooling level on the truck, and I opened the hood up, and there he was staring at me. the raccoon. And instead of jumping out of the hood, he like went down in between the motor and the axle and got down kind of wedged inside the truck, and it was hell getting him out of there. But so I guess it could have gone bad. Luckily it didn't get attacked by a raccoon. But,
send the dogs in. Let them have it. They'll take him out of there. Release the hounds.
That's hilarious. How did the foot traffic look on, you know, as far as the
first of all, my place sits on an S curve, and there's a lot of property, like there's a lot of state property in between the highway and my gate. So it's a really, really fun and nice and convenient place for the Border Patrol to kind of hang out. So they're always hanging out around my front gate all the time anyway. But just because of the location of my place and where it is and it's access to the road and all that, it's a very, very popular place for Border Patrol to come in and find people. So they're always in the – I bet they're in my property almost every single day at some point during the day.
Probably more than you are, yeah.
Oh, way more than I am, no doubt. Yep. Way more than I am. They know it better than me, probably. But, but I didn't see anybody. They didn't catch anybody, I don't think, while I was there on my place.
It's kind of slowed down the crawl down there on the border, buddy.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah. It did. It did.
That's
for
good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I know it.
That's fantastic.
It's incredible.
Maybe it's next deer season. It might actually be, pretty manageable. So,
well, we were told for 4 years that, hey, border secure, man. There's nothing to see here. Border secure.
Oh, yeah.
It gotcha. I mean, you know, and that's the crazy part. You know, me, I hadn't been down there until Casey. I started going down there to Casey's ranch a couple years ago, you know, but I hadn't been down there previous to that. You know, we used to go to Laredo and stuff and hunt, you know, in the fall, stuff like that for deer. and go across to the border and have fun and yada yada yada. And I hadn't been back in 15-20 years, and I couldn't even believe it. You know, the amount of helicopters and all the stuff that's down there. I mean, you couldn't tell a story. I would never be able to picture it in my head. You know, it was like a war zone. I mean,
it was like
unreal.
Wild West down there, buddy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. You never know who you're going to bump into. Literally, you don't know who you're going to bump into. Much less the bobcats and the mountain lions and everything else.
Jeez, man, the foot traffic kept the bobcats away. Now they're gone. Bobcats are in. Jeez,
that's
it's just
right.
rough all the way around down there. I mean, you know, you just can't get away. It's just rough country. That's what it is.
Hey, Mickey, maybe that bobcat thought it was an illegal, not a turkey. Maybe that's why he attacked.
I don't know, buddy, but that wouldn't that be something? Squatted down, sitting on the ground, calling turkeys in, and you get attacked by a bobcat from the back.
Wow. Might be time to go find another hobby.
Yeah, it looks like his front paws just almost clawed his eyes out. That's crazy, man.
Wow. That is crazy.
I can't believe a bobcat. I mean, a person, that's pretty big. Pretty big silhouette, you know, even on the backside. I've had them come run, you know, in my tree stand, and you know, two of them sitting there fighting in the same tree I was in, and ran down and got next to me, and as soon as they saw me, just stopped, like, you know, the old Mexican standoff for a while. But I didn't want nothing to do with them. They didn't want nothing to do with me, I guarantee you that. So,
remember that video floating around 2 or 3 years ago? There was a guy came out of his house with his little toddler kid, looked like they were going to daycare or whatever in the mornings, and a bobcat tried to attack the kid, and the father, you know, jumped on it, and it jumped on him, and, I mean, I'm going, man, is that thing a rabbit or something? I mean, it's broad daylight, just boom, in the neighborhood. Bobcat attacks that guy.
That'd be worse. There's a video somewhere of a bobcat jumping up and catching a turkey when it flushes. It's a crazy
video. I saw that one
the
other day. That was cool on somebody's game cam. Did you see all the feathers? Yeah. It looked like a you could have wove a Navajo blanket with all them feathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. We got a buddy of mine. We went down there last spring. I brought a buddy of mine down there. We were down there around, it was around this time of year, maybe a little bit earlier, and he wanted to try to hunt, you know, a coyote or whatever, a bobcat. And I said, well, if you see a bobcat, shoot it. I said, because we have a lot of them. We don't ever hunt them. And so it wouldn't more hurt to take one. We probably have more than we need here for, you know, more bobcats than we need. And he wasn't in that blind I put him in. And this was 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't even late. He wasn't in that thing 30 minutes. And a big bobcat came out and he shot it right by the stand. I mean, this was a big one too. This guy was 6'5". My buddy's 6'5". And this bobcat, when he held it up, it almost went from the freaking top of his head almost to the ground. That's how big this thing is.
My gosh, that's a long one. That's a good one there, buddy.
And we got it. We took him to the taxidermist, and I don't even have him back yet. I'm waiting on him. I got a full body mount done of him. I'm going to keep him down there. But, yeah, there's no shortage of those things. There's a lot more than you think, down in that country. If you don't hunt them a lot and run dogs and do bobcat hunts a lot, you're going to have plenty of those things. So
I got a lot of them out my way, you know, over in Chambers where I live.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's that's a lot incredible. Of them around here. People don't realize that there's how many of them in this country, too. They're not just, you know, south. They're all over the whole state. Everywhere has bobcats. So, pretty cool animal. But, yeah, apparently they're pretty dangerous, too. So I have to watch my back next time I'm turkey hunting.
Yeah.
No kidding. Wow. They're not in any kind of breeding pattern right now, are they? I mean, this should be far out of there.
I don't know. I really don't know when they breed. I would think they would breed whenever the maybe this time
about
of year
this time
because
of year when they have kittens.
Yep, yep. Because of the food
dropping all the fawns. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're really pretty. Yeah. They're really pretty too. They're really pretty.
Yeah, they're. I called around yesterday and asked around about the snapper seasons and the amberjack season. Everybody keeps calling me up.
Right.
Asking me about amberjacks for May season. I don't think it's happening personally, I don't have an official answer for anybody.
I hadn't heard
so
anything.
Don't take that. Yeah. Which,
yeah,
you know,
we're 10 days away so from May.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Last year we weren't supposed to get a May season. Matter of fact, 2023, they came back and they said, we're going to give you an August season, but we're for sure taking away the 2024 May season. And then about a month before May, of course, they gave it to us. So it doesn't make any sense. The, you know, even if they tell you something, obviously it doesn't matter. So, but we have not got an official answer on either or, Snapper or Amberjack. And again, I'm assuming, I think everybody, or for the most part, you should probably assume that we're not getting the Amberjack season. But, you know, as far as Snapper season goes, it happened June 1st every year. You can pretty much bet on that one. But the, you know, tell when, that's a big question mark. So,
I'm with you.
I'm pretty sure June and July you're going to be good. The last few years it's been pushing into August, and that's questionable. But you'll probably get at least all of June and part of July for the most part. So
yeah, well, they've been catching them on those commercial boats, like we talked last week about it. You know, they come in and dock at one of my docks. They unload a lot of this little snapper that come into Freeport, get unloaded right there, and yeah, they've been whacking them really good, you know, of course. So he supplies pretty much all the Pappas restaurants with their snapper. Jason does. So he supplies all the Pappas restaurants in Houston with their snapper. So that keeps him pretty busy.
Yeah, it does. Big market. Let me knock this break out, gentlemen. I'll be right back at you. All right. Okay. Well, folks, the 36th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament, that's right around the corner. That'll begin Memorial Day weekend, and it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Sign up today. Take advantage of up to $1.9 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions. 120 tagged redfish will be released in inshore waters along the Texas coast. Give you a chance to win you a boat and truck package for a tagged red, or you can fish for drum and sheephead and gaff top. Offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the CCA Star Tournament is brought to you by great sponsors like Whataburger, Showwater Boats, Mustang Cat, Dargle Boats, Transport Boats, Haney Boats, Chris's Marine, and McLean Trailers. Go to startournament.org or call 713-626-4222 and sign up today. And welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:36 here in the Bayou City. All right, guys, we are back.
Back in action.
Back in action. Here we are.
Speaking of the commercial guys, you know, they've been, you know, I talked to Shane and a couple of the captains, Friday afternoon, and they've been going out real deep, so. They've had some queen snappers and some very odd groupers that have been at the seafood market here lately. So, you know, if you haven't been in a while and you want to go check something out, go check one of the seafood. You know, they sell to a lot of – how many boats are actually on your – running out of your dock right now? About four, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the Hustler. He unloads only there. He doesn't stay there, but he unloads there. Both adjacent boats on there, so at least three.
And then Lopez has been over there too. Well, he's been down at Tyco Dock, but
exactly. I don't know what he's been bringing in. He's been bringing in snapper too, I guess.
Yeah, he brought in a bunch of queens. He had some. Some odd groupers, yellowmouth groupers, and some other stuff. You know. The other thing I've been seeing a lot here lately is the silky. So I call them the yellow-eyed snapper, but is there a difference, Casey, between a yellow-eyed and a silky?
I thought think
silkies were smaller.
I think they're the same fish, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
We need to research that. We'll catch up on that for next time. But I think they're the same. I think the yellow-eyed is the silky. Now there's a blackfin snapper too. You know about that one, right?
Right, right. But it doesn't
got the little black.
Yeah, and the blackfin doesn't actually get like more than about 10 pounds, right? It's fairly
no,
small.
They don't get correct. Yeah, correct.
Now the silkies, the yellow eye, what I call a yellow eye, they the ones I've seen coming in are probably about 15 pounds.
Dang.
Look identical to a red snapper.
So the eyes are yellow. Yeah.
The eyes are yellow and the tail. The tail has a little yellow, like, hue to it. You know, I always pictured that it would be hard to distinguish that red snapper from a, like a, like you said, the black fan or the silky or the, you know, whatever. But man, I'm gonna tell you what, when you pull that black fan up and you look at it, it's noticeably different. And in the actual scales themselves are not like opaque red. They have some very distinct red markings. They just look different when you start pulling up different. And you look at that one. Yeah. You're like, "Ooh, man, that was, what in the heck's wrong with that one?" You know,
and then right.
You see the black fan underneath his dorsal, and I think they have a little black hue on their bottom pectoral fin. Correct?
Yes, they do. They do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right at kind of the base of the fin is black.
Yeah,
the black spot like on it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the hardest things I always had trouble trying to identify was the difference between a gag grouper and a black grouper when you look at them. You know, when they're bigger, they're a little bit easier. But when they're smaller, you know, those gags even have a dark fin. I mean, that's the first thing you look at, right, Casey, is the blackish.
When I look for a black grouper, the distinguishing characteristics that I've seen on black groupers, and groupers can have different colored phases and changes because they kind of like their color changes with their mood, so to speak, I guess you would say. So they're not always all the same color, but usually a black grouper will have little bitty orange. If you look close, they have little bitty orange dots when you first bring them out of the water all over them, like almost like little tiny orangish dots on them.
Huh.
They're not always obvious. You have to look kind of close, but sometimes they stick out. It just depends, like. But that's the orange dots are to me one of the giveaways on a black.
Right.
Interesting. So either one or in now here's the problem. Gags are going to be closed for 2025, I believe, year round.
Completely.
I think so. I think they're actually shutting down gags altogether. Which, wow. To be really honest with you, in Texas state water, or excuse me, in Texas water in general, you know, blacks are fairly uncommon. You don't typically find a bunch of blacks, and gags are starting to get harder to come by. I mean, you know, they're about like Warsaws. I feel like Warsaws is going to end up in their same, you know, category at one point. There's people still catch them, don't get me wrong, but you know, they're onesie twosie. You just don't find them very often as much as you used to. But
no, we had a really, really good run of them in the late, you know, the early 2000s. You know, we had some really good years on Warsaw and gag and scamp, everything. And it seems like since then it's been kind of slowly dwindling on those species. Yeah. So not catching near as many of them as we used to catch.
You know, what is the lifespan on a silky or a black snapper? Do you have any clue?
My guess is they'd be a slower grower and stuff than a red snapper, and probably live longer and grow slower because they're typically deeper. Water.
Yeah,
that's just what I would think, just because of their habitat, you know. But I really don't know scientifically studies what they've found, if anything.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mickey, those Warsaws that come out, you know, 100 plus pounds. That could be a 50-year-old fish. I mean, you know, this is
right.
I mean, am I anywhere in the ballpark, Casey? 50 years
think,
old?
I think a 50-year-old one would probably be up in a couple hundred pound range. But honestly, you know, for sure, 100% don't really know. But they do. They definitely grow slow and live longer than your pelagic type fish for sure. So they can live a long time. You know, in Alaska, they have a yellow-eyed rockfish that they catch. Kind of looks like a snapper a little bit. Mm-hmm. Looks like a... kind of like almost like a red-colored grouper with red, yellow eyeballs.
Yeah, they're kind of a grouper-snapper look cross, you know.
Really, really good eating, but they grow really, really slow and live really, really long. So their limits are very, very strict. I mean, you get like one or two per year or something, unless you live in Alaska. But that's kind of what I equate a Warsaw to, kind of that kind of a deal. So they, you know, probably pretty old, I would think, when they get way up there in size.
Yeah,
you know, catch Warsaw on up to 1,000 foot of water. I mean, you can catch them, you know, pretty dang deep. I'd say 1,000 foot and shallower is where they are. But I mean, they have a wide range of depths you can catch them at.
because you can catch them in 50 foot of water too, little small ones normally, but you can catch them in close or even way offshore. So
we have. Yep, definitely.
Goliath, you know, the, grouper, what's the average depth best to catch like a Goliath grouper?
They're much more shallow.
That's
I mean,
what
in Florida,
they catch them
at the docks.
Yeah, they catch them along the docks inshore, man.
And even in the mangroves, they'll catch juveniles in the mangroves. Like fishing in the flats, they'll catch them sometimes.
Right.
Like smaller ones. Yeah, crazy.
What is that? That is Goliath grouper considered? Because there's two types of groupers in Noah's eye. There's shallow water groupers and deep water groupers, right? And I think that those are considered shallow water groupers versus the, I don't know what the Warsaws are considered.
I think the Warsaw is considered a deep water grouper, but I'm not 100% sure on that. They're kind of in the middle, I guess you would say. So I don't know how they classify them exactly, but definitely, yeah, I would say Goliath grouper should be shallow water. And they really, you know, they totally were decimated, and now in Florida, they're really, really come back.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still protected. You still can't keep them. But I'm expecting that might even change soon. They're catching so many of them over there now. They might start people keeping them a little bit because there's so many. They take over reefs and you can't get a fish in. I mean, we went over there and fished in the Keys a couple summers ago. We chartered this guy and we just wanted to go catch some, you know, some fish to eat, some snapper and some, you know, whatever else. And we went and we didn't have the tackle on board to catch one of those. But I probably hooked five or six of them on spinning rods, at least that many that day. And of course I didn't get them in, but, cause we weren't rigged up for them, but they were there. They were eating our fish on the way up. So,
man,
Wow.
They were pretty thick, you know, pretty thick.
There is people that catch Goliath groupers here in Texas. I've seen pictures of them, you know.
There are definitely some here. We just don't have the numbers. I guess Florida has. We used to, you know, some of the biggest ones I've ever seen old pictures of were caught off around some of these jetties. Back in the old days, they used to catch
remember them. Seeing some old day pics of, you know, jetty fishermen catching them big Goliath groupers.
You bet. And they call them jewfish. That's the same thing as jewfish.
Yeah, that's the one
they
used to call a jewfish, right?
That's right. That's right.
Goliath groupers. I mean, and you get, you know, Freeport, Texas, being as old as it is, you know, there's not an old place in Freeport, you know, whether it be a restaurant or something like that, you go in and you won't see two or three pictures of, you know, old ones with the Model T in the background and a big Goliath grouper hanging up on a hook. You know?
Right.
yep.
And they used to be super plentiful, you know, and to be completely honest with you, I mean, Casey's dad used to go out, you know, 30 miles pretty deep for a long time, you know, and then now we're out there pushing 150 miles in a day and stuff. So it's,
they used to go on
the water. I mean,
yeah, they didn't catch many Goliath groupers, even when my dad fished. But they catch one, a small one, occasionally, because they were probably going past them, to be honest with you. But they would go on. They would have war. They would go on Warsaw trips, and they wouldn't break 40, 45 miles. And they would go fish four Warsaws and catch many of them. Mainly on, there was a few, you know, when my dad was running the boat, there was very few, kind of like now, very few oil platforms, but some of the very first oil platforms were getting put up back then. And that's where they would go catch them. A lot of them is just at the oil platforms. They'd go 30, 35, 40 miles and catch all the freaking Warsaw they wanted in a day.
Man.
Just on those rigs.
Amazing.
100 to 150 foot of water they were catching them, you know, just, you know, big ones too, up to 200 pounders sometimes they would catch. So they were out there pretty thick at that time.
What was the biggest party boat y'all had back in the day?
Well, the biggest one we ever had was the Big E, which is one of the last ones we had before we sold the business. It was 130 feet. Before that, we had the Gulfstream. Back in the 90s, we had the Gulfstream. It was 110. And then the Captain Casey, the one my dad bought when I was like 6 years old and named it after me. He bought it used from North Carolina. I think he came from North Carolina, and he sailed it down here. And it was called the Shady Lady, and he changed the name of it to the Captain Casey. And it was 65 feet when he bought it. But then probably 10 to 15 years after he bought it, he did some modifications to the boat. He made it longer to add like a fantail on the back, added some hull on the bottom, and turned it into like 87 feet. He took it from 65, took it to 87.
How many people would y'all put on them boats?
The Captain Casey, when it was lengthened to 87 feet, I believe we maxed out about 70 people on that boat.
Good Lord.
And the Gulfstream, I believe, was about the same. I think it was, it could have even been 80, 85 on the Gulfstream. The Big E, on a few occasions, we put 110 people on it.
Man, that's some lines in the water. You can just wipe out a whole reef with that. That's big time.
Let's drift
across here and just suck them all off of here.
And you talk about some tangles, man, when you have 110 people on.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
People are hooking up with people on the other side of the boat and pulling the rod out of their hand and catching the rod.
They're wrenching on each other, seesawing.
It was crazy.
What a joke.
You know what Monty told me all the time? He said, man, on a big party boat, he said, you don't have to get close to the reef, or you don't have to be on top of the reef. All you got to do is get close. They'll come to you, you know.
It's the vacuum cleaner.
Like throwing chum in the water, man, 100 lines over. Hey, let's eat. Yeah.
What's really crazy is when you have 110 people or 100 people on the boat and a big lang or something comes swimming by and everybody's trying to catch it. What a mess. It'll get caught just on accident. If it doesn't even want to bite, it's going to get caught probably. Because somebody's going to snag it or something.
Those guys nowadays, you know, they're going out, you know. And how did, when y'all went deep to do some of the overnights and 36 hours and stuff like that, would you take about half the people? I mean, I can only imagine.
On those long trips, you would.
Yellowfin.
Yeah, we the Big E, I believe, on that boat, like on a 48 or 72-hour trip, they wouldn't put more than about 30, 35 people on there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, it's totally different kind of fishing. What we used to call the party boat trips, you know, the day trips with all the people, they called them straggler trips. The stragglers. That's what we called it. Yeah, the stragglers, yep.
Interesting. I mean, it was the
cheapest way to go fishing. That was the cheapest way. If somebody wanted to go fishing, that was the cheapest way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had your regulars that would get on there, and they would want the back of the boat, and it was first come, first serve. So we would have – there would be a line at the door. There would be people lining up at the door. The office opened at 4 a.m., I think, or 5 – no, it was 5 a.m. There would be people lined up at the door all night. People would sleep out there. They'd be the first one in the door, first one to get their bag, first one to mark their spot. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sold their business in 2010 and in
seven.
You know,
2007.
Oh, really? In 2007? Okay. So when did the regulation really start hitting hard? It was about 2005 or three.
We dealt with those close seasons for quite a while. You know, and then we bought that big – we only had the Big E for like two or three fishing seasons before we closed. And it made a lot of trips, and it had some really successful trips. No, we had it – let's see. Yeah, probably only about two or three seasons we had the Big E before we sold everything. So, and then, of course, we got bought out. But, yeah, I'd say the when the seasons got short, that's when it really was hard to keep a business going because you had, you know, so many months that you – you know, Freeport, there's no tourism in Freeport. So it's the fishermen that come to Freeport weren't here for tourism. You couldn't just put together a trip, and they were fairly serious fishermen. So it was hard to keep the business going during the off season, basically.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep employees, keep the boats going, keep, you know, stay busy enough to constitute staying open that whole time. So that's made it difficult.
Sure.
Well. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff, man. I always enjoy talking to you guys. That's out of my pay grade out there, some of the stuff y'all do. But it's interesting anyway. Listeners like it. Well, hey, if somebody wants to get with you and come down and make an offshore excursion whenever this wind will ever quit blowing, if that's ever going to happen, but give them some info.
Yeah, call me anytime at 979-417-1013 or go to our website at stsladventures.com. Look, we have very few charters going this year. We're going to kind of be spotty picking them here and there as we go along. We're going to do some tournament fishing, stuff like that. So pay attention to the Facebook page. We'll post some really cool trips and stuff like that as we go along. And we're just trying to do something unique and different this year. So just watch, call us, give us a holler. And, of course, go get some gas from Casey.
And anybody wants to join the Fuel Club or talk about fishing or pick my brain, number's 979-373-1398.
All right, guys. Well, hey, y'all have a happy Easter, and always a pleasure talking to you.
All right.
Awesome. Need fuel, thank you, Mick.
Call Casey's Fuel Dog, baby. You got it.
Thank you, Mick.
Y'all
Bye.
Be safe.
See y'all later.
Later,
bye-bye.
Man. All right. All right, that's the boys from Freeport. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about Seaguar and Vizx casting line. And, folks, if you've never thrown fluorocarbon, it's really smooth casting. What I like about InvizX, it's soft, easy casting with 100% fluorocarbon performance, and it's a fishing line that's virtually invisible. And Seaguar InvizX, it's a best-selling fluorocarbon mainline, and it's engineered to provide extremely low memory, which makes it soft, supple, and more castable. And it's soft and strong with exceptional sensitivity. It has low memory, virtually no stretch, and it's fast sinking, especially for fishing deep structure. It has superior knot strength for unmatched performance in most conditions, and I really like it. It's good in certain situations. Keep you an extra reel spooled up with it. So try Seaguar and Vizx. You'll like it.